Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series called LLJD, which stands for Live Like Jesus Did. We are asking the question of what does it look like to live like Jesus as a middle schooler in a 2024 world. Follow along, we hope you enjoy this message.
Well, welcome back to week two. We've got our LLJD series. So it goes along with the bracelets. High school's kind of already started this. I think Brantley mentioned that, and we are starting it in middle school as well. And so this is week two. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a second. And this whole series, we introed it last week. It's kind of built just around this idea of like the what would Jesus do bracelets or the he would love first bracelets or the LLJD. The whole premise of those, the whole idea of those is that as you wear them, that no matter who you're with or what you're doing or where you're at, that you could see that bracelet and be reminded of, oh yeah, as a Christian, as someone who says that they follow Jesus, that I'm supposed to now live like he would if he were in my shoes, if he were in a 2024 kind of world. And so we get to kind of think through and process that in this series of, hey, what would it look like to live like Jesus in the day that we find ourselves in? And as you, the person who lives in your family and has the friends that you do and plays the sports or doesn't play sports, like wherever you're at in life that you can think through, hey, what does it look like for me to live like Jesus? And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be covering really different pieces of Jesus's life, really maybe you could think of them as habits of his life. In fact, some of these things we're going to look at, people actually call spiritual habits or spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices that are things that we just see come up time and time again in Jesus's life. And if they came up time and time again in his, then they probably ought to be a part of our lives as well, coming up time and time again in our own lives. And so last week was an intro into that idea. And so we talked about what it looks like to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And now we're going to talk about some specifics of, hey, if you are a follower of Jesus, this is probably part of how you live. And today we're going to talk about Bible reading. We're going to talk about reading scripture, reading the Bible. And so maybe it's something that you guys have thought about before. Maybe some of you are already in the habit of it now. And I hope, this is what I told First Service, so I'll tell it to you as well. I hope that this does not come off as like, you better be reading your Bibles or make you feel guilty for not reading your Bibles. I'm not trying to do that. I am trying to encourage you and challenge you to step into reading scripture because I think that it is really, really important. So one of the ways that I'm going to start talking about this is if you have ever been baptized, which how many of you have been baptized before? Quite a few hands went up in first hour. Many of you have been baptized, and some of you have, maybe even I was the one who baptized you, but a lot of you have been baptized here at Fellowship Greenville. If you get baptized here as a part of our next gen ministry, when we do our next gen baptisms, part of that process is that you'll come to church on a weekday typically, and you'll have a baptism interview. And the interview is basically meant to just be, hey, do you understand what baptism is and why we do it? Number one. And then number two, just kind of sharing like your faith journey and make sure like part of baptism is it's a public display of an inward reality is kind of what we say. So it's showing the public, showing those who are there for your baptism that you have been saved by Jesus. And so part of what we talk through with you is like, hey, have you actually been saved? Do you know what it means that Jesus has saved you? And if you're in an interview with me, one of the ways that I will do this process is I'll kind of ask you, you know, kind of share your story of meeting Jesus and how you were saved and what life looked like before Jesus and now after Jesus or since him, I should say, and then make sure you understand baptism. And ultimately, then I'll come to this question just kind of like to challenge and poke and prod a little bit. But hopefully it's an encouragement more than a feels like, you know, pop quiz kind of thing. But I'll ask this question. Hey, if a friend came up to you, and you can think about this question yourself, whether you've been baptized or not. But if a friend came up to you and said, hey, so I know that you believe in Jesus and that you like say that you're a Christian, but I'm that's not really me. That's not who I am. Why do I even need Jesus? Like, why do I need to believe in Jesus? I wonder what you would say. Like, I asked that to the people who are getting baptized, but I kind of ask it to you this morning. And it's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking you to raise your hand and answer it. But would you have an answer if somebody said that? And maybe it's not a friend. Maybe it's somebody that you've met for the first time, and they're just asking you questions about your life, and you're sharing about how, you know, church and your faith are important pieces of your weekly rhythm. And they ask you that question. Why do I even need to believe in Jesus? What would you say? Maybe you've got questions like that, or maybe as you navigate through life, you've got questions about, especially in the culture that we live in, hey, what does God actually think about this thing? Maybe it's identity, maybe it's gender, maybe in the world that we live in right now in the middle of a political season, it's like, hey, what does God actually say about politics? And how should a Christian actually think about voting? And I know you guys are far off from voting, but you're hearing about it all the time. Maybe your parents are talking about it in one way or another in your house. Or maybe you just have questions about the Bible itself. Like, why do we have the Old Testament, which is like over half of the Bible, and then the rest of it is this thing called the New Testament? And how do those things relate? You know, what would God say is the answer for me if I'm struggling with forgiving somebody? Like, am I actually supposed to forgive everyone? And what does forgiveness look like? Or, you know, when we talk about Jesus and we talk about how, hey, no, it was promised that he would come, do you actually know what were some of the promises, or sometimes we call them prophecies, that were made about Jesus and then he fulfilled or is still fulfilling? What are some of those things? We've all probably got some level or layer of questions about the Bible and about God. And again, this isn't to make you feel guilty and not to shame you, but when you have those questions, what do you do with them? Do you just kind of let them, well, maybe I'll find out an answer one day? Or do you like take them somewhere? Do you ask somebody? Do you open up God's word when you have questions about God and about maybe what his word says? I think sometimes for us, whether it's the question that a friend asks about why we need to believe in Jesus, or if it's a question that you're wrestling with about a decision that you need to make, or, you know, maybe you're just wondering, hey, what's God's will for my life? What would God have me do right now? Or what would he, like, just trying to figure out, hey, what would God say if he were speaking to me? Sometimes we've got the answers and God's words actually way closer than we think. And so when it comes to, hey, what's the relationship between the Old and the New Testament? Well, man, we could read about that. When it comes to the promises and prophecies about Jesus that he fulfilled, we can open up God's word and read about that. When it comes to what's God's will for my life, now maybe not specifically like, hey, should you take this class or take that class, or, but in a very general and sometimes really specific sense, God's word actually has his will for us. And yet many of us neglect to dive into God's word, maybe because we've experienced it being hard to read, maybe because we don't know where to start, or maybe because of some other reason. But my hope and challenge for you this morning is that you see, hey, no, but it's a necessary part of who we are as Christians, that the Bible is meant to be something that God uses to form us and shape us, and that it was a large part of Jesus' life as well, that he was very in the know about the scriptures, and not simply because he was God in the flesh. We'll talk about that in just a second. So let's read. We're going to be, again, in 2 Timothy, if you want to turn in your Bibles there. Excuse me, chapter 3, and we're just going to read two verses this morning, verses 16 and 17. And here's what you need to know about where we're reading from. So we're reading from the New Testament, and we're reading from 2 Timothy, which is the second letter that we have that was written from a guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul, to Timothy, who Timothy was a guy who was kind of up under Paul's wing, so to speak. He was kind of being mentored, or really he was a disciple. He was a follower of Paul, and they both were followers or disciples of Jesus. And so Paul's trying to raise him up. Like, imagine if you have mentors or coaches, or some of your parents are really good at this too, of just like raising you up to be the young man or young woman that you are called to be. And so Paul's trying to instruct Timothy on all the things that are important to being a leader in the church, so that Timothy can do right now and then do more later of kind of the same things that Paul's doing when it comes to leading the church and planting churches and teaching God's word. And so here he is. This is, again, this is 2 Timothy is a letter that was written specifically to Timothy, but there's things in there that we can take away. That's why years and years ago they decided that this was going to be a part of the scriptures of our New Testament. But it's kind of different because a lot of letters in the Bible are written to like a church or a group of churches, but here we have this one letter, 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy as well, that are written to one dude, which is kind of interesting. So if you've ever wondered though, hey, what might Paul say about how life is meant to be lived. What might Paul say about growing and maturing as a Christian? Read 1st and 2nd Timothy, and you'll get a lot of insights there. So that's what we're doing today. And Paul comes to this place in 2nd Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where he's talking about Scripture and trying to emphasize and remind Timothy of why it's important. So let's read these verses. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So let's break this down. We'll start the first little part in verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." Does anybody want to take a jab? This is not rhetorical. This is, you can raise your hand for this. What does Paul mean when he says all Scripture is breathed out by God? Yeah. All Scripture comes from God. Really, really good. Yeah. But so does that mean like God is just like, right? And then Scripture's written, ink on paper. Is that what it's saying? Give me some more for that. Who's got an idea? What does it mean that Scripture was breathed out by God? Yeah. It's words from God, for sure. Yep. So, but again, did he do it by just being like, right? Like some weird kind of Darth Vader thing? Right? Did God, in a sense, like there certainly is a spiritual side of this where God breathed, but does anybody know what did that practically look like? Yeah. Oh, no? You're just twiddling your hand? Okay. That's okay. If nobody knows, that's fine. Yeah. 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 Now we're getting to it. That God inspired. So, yes, God is the one that these words originated from. God, in a sense, did breathe them, but not just like God breathed and then it was written on paper. But God chose, this is what we believe as Christians. Maybe you've wondered that. Like, how did we get these words? Because some people think, maybe you've heard this before, if you've done any kind of looking into it or seeing what other people think about the Bible, but some people are like, well, it was a bunch of old white men who took all these things and wrote them down to control people. It's like, first off, Jesus wasn't white, okay? So we can't really, and they were written in Greek and Aramaic, and like it just doesn't work like that. But that's what some people think, that it was a bunch of people, who powerful old dudes, who just decided, we're going to write these words and put them together in this book so we can control people. That's not what we believe as Christians, and that doesn't seem to be what the Scriptures tell us. This is one of the places in the Scriptures where we see this idea that God actually inspired the words, that he gave the words of Scripture to humans throughout thousands and thousands of years over the course of time up until about 100 or 200 years after Jesus died, okay? So over the span of thousands of years, God, through the Holy Spirit, actually gave words into the minds and hearts of humans that then they wrote down that into what we have now as the Scriptures today. So we would say as Christians that God's word, the Bible, Scripture, is inspired by God, that he inspired people to write these words. And so it wasn't just that a bunch of powerful people got together and decided what was going to be in this holy book. And it wasn't that a bunch of random people decided, oh, I'm going to write this down and I'm going to say that this is from God. No, God chose to work through specific people to write specific things that we now have in our Bibles today that are his words. So, man, if you've been waiting to hear from God, or you've got questions about him, or you've got questions about life and how he's ordered it and designed it, and you're wondering, man, I wonder what God would say about this. Or maybe you're waiting. Like you've got a specific question in your life and you're just waiting for the clouds to part or for God to send you something in the mail or for you to get a text from God. Like, I don't know what you're waiting for. But man, God's already got his words written down over thousands of years right here waiting for us to open it. And yet, again, I'm not trying to shame, I'm not trying to guilt trip, but many of us haven't opened our Bible on our own outside of a Sunday morning in a long time. In a long time. But we're waiting on him. He's kind of maybe already given you some of your answers. So Paul says to Timothy, hey, these are the very words of God. How much importance should we put on the Scriptures? How much should that make us want to go to them? Like, you're telling me God wrote something down for me? Yeah, a lot of somethings. There's a whole lot of things to be discovered in mind about what God has said to us. So all of Scripture is breathed out by God, inspired. And Paul says, hey, in case you weren't already there, he says it's profitable. What does profitable mean? It means it's useful. It's beneficial. It's, would you say money? Yeah, in some sense, like, this is money, man. No, it's like even more valuable than money, more valuable than gold. It's the words of our Creator. It's the words of God Almighty. It's the words of the guy who holds all this life together. It's the words of God. And so it's profitable. It's useful. It's beneficial. It's helpful. You ever been stuck? You ever needed help? You ever felt like you didn't know which way to go? You ever wondered what life was all about? Like, the words of God are helpful and beneficial and useful, profitable for figuring out some of those things of life. For what? He actually gives kind of four specific things. He says profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Let's kind of break these down into two parts. First things that he talks about are for teaching and reproof. Reproof, another word for that is like rebuke, okay? So what he's getting at here is this idea of, hey, God's word is good for your head. It's good for knowledge. It's good for knowing things about God, about life, about you. And not just like knowing things, but knowing, hey, it's good for teaching what is right. It's good for rebuking or saying what is wrong. So in God's word, if you are reading it and taking it in and thinking on it and praying about it and the Spirit is revealing things to you, if you're in the Scriptures, you're going to see, hey, this is who God is. This is what life is about. This is who you are called to be. And this is not who God is. This is not what life's about. This is not who you're called to be. And in those ways, you're going to grow in your knowledge of the things of God and the things that aren't of God. And that's a big deal. That's really beneficial because some of us are wondering those things. Like, who actually is God? Well, the Bible says a lot about him. What actually am I here for? The Bible says a lot about that. And in the face of a world that is telling you all kinds of things that are the opposite of that, you know what happens when you're in God's word and you understand what's true? You're also able to identify everything or a lot of the things that are false. And over time, you start to see through more and more things that, oh yeah, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's true. That's true. But if we're not in God's word and we're just hoping that, and some of this comes through sitting in teachings like this. Some of it comes through being in your small group. Some of it comes through those means. But God has given us his word and he intends for us to read it so that we might know and discover some of these things on our own. When it comes to Jesus, I know we're talking about live like Jesus did. And so, well, how did he use these things? Jesus was regularly teaching from the word of God. He may not have had it open the whole time because it seems like he had it memorized. And not just because he was God. In fact, if you read in Philippians, which is another book of the Bible, you see that it seems like God, or Jesus rather, put away his God card while he was here on earth. And so how did he know the Bible? How did he know Scripture? Which, interestingly enough too, Jesus didn't have the same Bible that we have. He had just the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't yet been written. It was like being written in real time as he's living this life out. But he knew the Old Testament, and wherever he went, when he teaches, he was teaching from things in the Old Testament and helping people understand, no, this is what the words of my Father mean. And this is what it means by that. And you know, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, maybe you've heard it this way, but it's actually this way. Like, he was helping people understand what his Father's words meant, what the Word of God meant, what the Old Testament was actually saying. Jesus was doing this. He was teaching them, hey, this is what's right, and this is what's wrong. Jesus was doing what Paul's talking about here with Timothy. And Jesus, one of the things I was mentioning is, like, he put away his God card. He didn't just have it memorized because he was God, but it seems like he was growing. In fact, Scripture tells us that he was growing in his knowledge of the Scriptures. He was growing in his knowledge of who his Father was over time because it seems like he was spending time in the Scriptures. He was spending time getting to know the Word. And then over time, he grew in his knowledge of those things. So teaching and reproof, that's kind of doctrine. That's the right and wrongs of what we should know. And then Paul also mentions for correction and for training in righteousness. This is like the right and wrong of what we should do. If the first two things were doctrine, the second two things are practical. Like, hey, if you want to know how to live life, it's not just about the things that you know because you can get really puffed up on what you know, but what you know is meant to leak into your heart and then meant to become a part of who you are and how you live. That God's word would be something that we don't just read about and like, yep, check that off, but it would be something that we live out as well. Jesus, for instance, he mentions, hey, I only ever do what the Father has told me to do. And some of that came through, seems like, what he heard directly from his Father, that God was speaking certain things to Jesus. But a lot of that, I think, is what Jesus knew about the scriptures, that, hey, the Bible tells us we need to love God and love others well, so that's what I'm going to do. So Paul narrows it down. Hey, these two things are for doctrine, things that you know. These two things are for practice, things that you do. The scriptures are vitally important for both of those things to happen. And then what's the end result? Paul says in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, that when you have spent time in the scriptures, when you've let it shape your mind, when you've let it shape your heart, when you've let God's Spirit use those things to transform the way that you live, that that's when you start to really become the person that he has created and called you to be. In fact, one of the ways that we kind of talk about this around here is that scripture reading, we don't just read for information, but we read for transformation as well. That we don't just read the Bible to puff up our minds and give us big galaxy brains, but we read the scriptures so that God's Holy Spirit might use his words to transform our lives. So what's the challenge, what's the call, what's the action step for us? I think that if we start to understand, hey, we've got the very words of God in here, that we might be compelled to actually start taking in the words of God into our minds and our hearts and our daily lives. So the challenge, the encouragement, is that you would actually start to do that, that you and I would start to make reading the Bible a regular part of our life, that we would start to, over time, in little bits and pieces, start to understand more of who God is as we read his word, and more of who we are as we read his word, more of what life's all about, more of what we're called to do. All of those things might become more and more clear as we take in the word of God and his Holy Spirit uses it to mold us and shape us. But where do we begin? How do we start if you're itching to do that? Because I know many of us in this room, we're not regularly reading the Bible. I mentioned it earlier. Many of us, maybe we can't even quite remember the last time we opened the Bible. I remember when I was in your shoes, I would get really uptight about this, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to read the Bible. And then I would start, and I'd be like, I've got to start at the very beginning, and I'm going to read through the whole Bible, which I think, for what it's worth, is really important. I think more of us need to read through the entire Bible so that we have a bigger picture of who God is. If I asked us to raise our hands right now for who's read the entire Bible, it might be like three of us, four of us. But I think it's far more important that many, like all of us, need to read through it at some point in our lives, over the course of our lives. But we've all got to start somewhere. But I was so determined. I was like, I'm going to start in Genesis 1. And then I would read in Genesis 1, and I'd get like, man, I'd on a strong attempt, I'd go like 27 chapters in. And over the course of a period of days, I would read 27 chapters. And then I would stop for like 2 weeks, and I'd be like, darn it, I need to read the Bible. I'm supposed to read the Bible. And so instead of picking back up, though, I was like, but I got to read the whole thing. And so I'd start over, and I would read like Genesis 1, we're starting, and we're going all the way through the thing. It became a checklist. It became like something I felt like I was forced to do, and that really didn't result in a lot of things being profitable for me. Now, I think maybe God was certainly using what I was reading and all those kinds of things to mold and shape me, but I was missing the point of it, the heart of it. So let's talk about a few things real quick, and then we'll dismiss to small groups. If you're wondering about Bible reading, some of you are wondering, like, where do I start? How long should I read? What Bible should I read? What should I actually read? What should my time look like? Let me answer a few of those questions. Maybe you can talk about a few more in small groups. One, what Bible should I read? Because if you have been around the church long enough, you know that sometimes whoever's teaching opens up the Bible, and you open up your Bible, and you're like, they're reading different words than me. Because there's some different versions. There's some different translations. There's the King James or the New King James Version, which reads like Old English. It does not sound like language we use today. There's the ESV, which our church uses and uses specific words. But sometimes we also use what's called the NLT or the NIV because it has words that are a little more modernized that we actually use. Here, which one should you use? Here's the best Bible that you can read. It's the one you actually read. It's the one you actually read. Like, if it's the NLT, if it's the NIV, if it's the ESV, that's the one that I'm mostly teaching out of on a Sunday morning. If that helps you, like, hey, then I'll be able to read the same one that Dallas or whoever's teaching out of. But the best Bible, the best translation you can get is the one that you actually read. Now, and don't let me step on, like, if your parents or your family are like, no, but this is the only one, don't let me step on their toes. But there are certain translations, like the New King James Version or the King James Version, that it's just not how we talk anymore. And so I think it's just going to be a struggle for you to understand. Like, we don't talk in these and thous anymore. We still use the word thee, but it has just one E, okay? So probably that translation would be one of the last that I would recommend for you, just because it's the one you're going to read. And so are you going to really open up and read an old English version? I think it's just going to be a struggle. But again, the best Bible, if that is the one that you read, then that's maybe the choice for you. So what about where should I start? Like, where should I start reading, or how long should I start? For the answer to how long you should read, I always encourage people, if you don't have a habit right now, start with like a 5-minute timer. 5 minutes? Some of you are like, that's an eternity. Others are like, that doesn't sound like enough. Man, we just read 2 verses today. I think last week we covered 1 verse. And so it's not necessarily about how much you read, but I think it is about, like, hey, but are you focused on what you're reading? And are you asking the Lord to reveal himself in what you're reading? So you don't have to read a whole chapter, or you definitely don't have to read a whole book every time you sit down to open up the Bible. You can just read a little bit of scripture, a little bit at a time, over a long period of time. And I think the Lord's going to use that to mold and shape you. Some of the things I encourage people to use, if you're wondering, where do I start? What should I read? There's great Bible plans in the Bible app, like on your phones or your parents' phones. And so maybe looking for one of those, or the Bible Project, thebibleproject.com. I'm using an app right now from the Bible Project, which, get this, it's over the course of an entire year. And you know how much reading we're doing? 3 chapters. It's going through 3 chapters from the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. You don't think you can do 3 chapters in 1 year? That might sound, for some of you, it's like, that's way too long to stay in 3 chapters. I got to move on. But it's just digging deep into these 3 chapters of Scripture, one of the most important sermons that Jesus ever taught. So, in fact, some people say that's like the sermon that Jesus taught, the Sermon on the Mount. So you could read one of those plans. You could start with the Bible Project thing. If you're like, that's not really me, maybe start reading in one of the 4 Gospels. We're doing Live Like Jesus Did. What if you started reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Just pick one. And those are kind of given a picture, an account of Jesus' life when he was here on earth. What other simple questions do you have? I don't know, but let me know if you have anything that you're like, hey, but what about this? You didn't mention this. Come ask me, ask your small group leaders, and we'd be glad to help you. So again, like, all it takes is maybe setting a 5-minute timer. Maybe you got your Bible, maybe you got your journal to write some things down. Maybe you got a sticky note to write down something that sticks with you, and you keep that with you for the rest of the day. Whatever it is for you. But I think over time, little by little, God wants to speak to you through his word. But will you just open it? Will you read it? Will you see what he has to say, consider what he has to say, and let his Holy Spirit shape you through his words? Let me pray for us. God, thanks for not leaving us to just figure things out on our own. That we're not meant to, you know, somehow, maybe just through stories from other people, discover who you are and who your son is. God, you were way smarter than that. And God, you decided to have people write these things down, that you inspired these folks over thousands of years to write down truths about who you are and about who we are as humans and who we're called to be. And God, that your words in the scriptures are not just meant to be things that we would use to puff ourselves up with knowledge or think that we're awesome because of how much Bible we know or how much Bible we memorize, but you want to transform us through the words that you've given us and make us more like your son. So help us to open your word, help us to consider the truths that are in it, to be able to use scripture to fall back on when we're faced with tough questions, and maybe even from time to time be able to tell people, hey, no, this is why you should believe in Jesus, because he's the only one who can take away your sins. Help us to think well about your word and actually to read it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.